Thank you so much for joining us for hour number two of the Internet Advisor. This is when we unleash the tech talent here at the Internet Advisor. That's when Cal Carson and Ed Rudell, as our two tech experts, will start chewing on some of the questions that you have presented us as you've gotten in touch with us by email. On the few programs during the spring and summer when we're not available live on WJR, we take your calls, your requests for help on our Contact Us button. All right, we're going to corral some of the rowdy talent here in studio with Ed Rudell and Cal Carson, and we're going to be tackling some of the questions that you folks have sent in to us. Normally, by the way, during the spring and summer months, you'll be able to call us directly, and you will, by the way, starting next week, call us on, April the 30th, you'll be able to call in again, once again, to 800-859-0957 during our program on WJR, our flagship station, but during this weekend that we're preempted by Michigan State spring football, we've put together some of the questions you folks send us during the week, and you can put those questions to us through the Contact Us button, or the contact button that's on our homepage. If you go to internetadvisor.net, you'll see that in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage, or you can go to the bottom of our the show note page, and there is a comment section there. You can put your question in there, and that gets us to the same way. And Ed will be, and Cal will be talking about that in just a moment, but we have somebody with us right now who is our weekly visitor here, and that's Mr. Mike Brennan, who is the editor of MI Tech News. Mike, welcome to the show. How you doing, Mike?
Good. Mike, I didn't hear the run-up, so I was just sort of hanging out.
I see. All right. Well, we're glad that you could be with us. Mike is the editor of MI Tech News, and that is a weekly, well, actually, there's two times a week now that the information is disseminated to us, and that's all the tech headlines and entrepreneurial news that's going on in the state of Michigan. If that's the kind of thing that's interesting to you, well, then we've got an absolutely free newscast for you every week. And as I said, it's extended now to twice a week, and one of those times is lots of video content and audio content that's included as well. So, Mike, let's give people a little, hors d'oeuvre, some sampler of the things that you have in MI Tech News headlines for this week. First one up I saw was one that interested me was Pure Michigan has brought in boku dollars to the state of Michigan.
Well, according to a report, a study that was done by this company that does this for a living, studying it, you know, what happens in tourism in the states, they claim that in 2015, that $1.4 billion was generated by out-of-state visitors coming to Michigan, and the legislature obviously invests in the Pure Michigan campaign. So they say that the return on investment for every dollar spent was $7.67. Not bad.
And that's up almost a dollar from the year before that, 2014.
That's so probably better than even Gary's portfolio is doing.
By the way, I also saw another statistic in there was kind of interesting. In 2015, Michigan recorded the highest occupancy rate, revenue per room available, rate, and average daily rate since the data has been available. That's really, really good.
Yeah, the motels and hotels love that, right? So
absolutely.
People are coming, they're staying, they're spending money, and everybody's happy. So
I don't know about you guys, but I love the Pure Michigan campaign. That, to me, has been one of the greatest things about just the campaign itself has been really beautiful. But, boy, has it been really effective as well.
Yeah, it really has been. It's tremendous. It's usually ranked in the top couple, two, three every year for effectiveness, you know, out of all the states.
Mike, one of the things that you also post in the MI Tech News are some editorial comments, and I found one interesting in there. One of your commenters declared that the recent study on the potential oil spill in the Straits of Mackinac was flawed.
Yeah, that came from Brad Shamla, who's the Enbridge Vice President of U.S. Operations. So he's the guy that actually runs all the pipelines for Enbridge around the state, or around the country, wherever they're at. And so he read that we published the U of M report, which said that if that pipeline ruptured, it could do catastrophic damage to the Great Lakes. So he contacted us and said, I'd like to have equal time. And I go, absolutely. So he wrote an editorial and said that that's just not the case, that they inspect it all the time. They have shut-off valves on either side of the straits, and that if the pressure drops over a couple of minute period, all sorts of emergency alarms go off. But you still got 5 miles of oil in that pipeline, no matter what you do, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, exactly.
But you know, I got to be fair.
Sure.
U of M was not real happy with that situation and in their models, and he just said the models were flawed and it wouldn't happen.
Yeah, we're talking with Mike Brennan, by the way, who's the editor of MI Tech News, and we're talking about the kind of information that he shares every week and that you can get for free, by the way, by simply subscribing at mitechnews.com or go to internetadvisor.net, and you scroll down the page and there you are. You can see Mike's smiling face and you can subscribe right there. Maybe another example, final one to wrap up with here is that there's a complicated deal that's going on for the ownership of ITC, which is one of our largest energy companies.
I'm glad I was a financial writer at one time, because it took me a while to figure this one out.
I know.
it's crazy. This big Canadian utility bid $6.9 billion to acquire ITC Holdings. ITC Holdings was shopping around looking for someone to come in because they needed to get bigger. Uh-huh. But the Canadian company didn't have all the money, so they've gone to the Singapore Sovereign Wealth Fund, got them to pony up $1.23 billion in cash.
Good grief.
And then if the shareholders approve all this next month, it goes on, if the shareholders approve all this next month, then they're going to borrow $2 billion so they can complete the acquisition of ITC.
My.
And it's all going to stay pretty much the same. It's still going to be ITC. It's still going to be Innovi. They're going to let them run their own thing. It's just that we're going to have this big Canadian and U.S. conglomerate utility. But, yeah, that was one of the more complicated deals I've seen in a while.
Well, if you want to follow that kind of three-dimensional chess match, that's the kind of thing that Mike reports on as well. Mike, thanks so much for being with us here on the Internet Advisor.
Thanks, guy. Have a great day.
All right. And for the rest of you folks out there, we are now live on WJR. That means that if you have a question for us about your computer, we've got the folks in here to answer it. And the number here is 800-859-0957. That's right. You can call in right now, anywhere you happen to be. And Edward L. and Kel Carson are in studio here, our tech experts, to answer your question about your computer problems. 800-859-0957. Hi, this is Foster Brown, and you're listening to Hour Number 2 of the Internet Advisor. You say, what ho? What happened to Hour Number 1? Well, it was being recorded, and on Sunday night, if you go to internetadvisor.net, you'll be able to hear both hours. We talked about some of the really cool things that are happening both in Southeast and Southwest Michigan in terms of the development of new businesses and high-tech businesses. We talked with Tom Kelly from Automation Alley and with Sandra Cochran, who is with the Michigan Small Business Development Corporation based out of Grand Valley State University. So that's the first hour of our program. Now, however, we are live and available for you to ask your questions about your computer. If you've been suffering with something with your computer or with getting on the internet or with your other electronic devices, this is a good time for you to call 800-859-0957. Again, that's 800-859-0957 for the next about 40 minutes, we're available here for you with two of our tech experts. That's Ed Rudell and Cal Carson. They are professional tech troubleshooters in their respective industries, and they're here to answer your questions with a lot of experience on the line. Again, that number is 800-859-0957.
And we want you to call in Chicago style. Call early, call often.
Right? There you go. Don't wait to the end of the hour, as people often do, and then they're all piled up at the end and we can't get to you. So,
and speaking of suffering, I wanted to talk about, I had a very pleasant experience upgrading to Windows 10.
Yep.
I was looking forward to it. Windows 8 was painful for me.
Oh, everybody!
Although I had a touchscreen, and a lot of people are just adamant. I'm running Windows 7. I don't want to change from Windows 7.
And then you want to deal with those icons on the page.
Yep. And I'm basically one of our listeners basically said, and stop telling me I'll love it. Okay, you're an adult. You know what you want to do. How do you get rid of the notifications? Our friend Steve Gibson, who we've had on the show many times.
Right. Yep.
And he's with Leo.
He's a security expert.
He's on Leo Laporte all the time, and he also has his own podcast.
GRC is his company, Gibson Research.
Communications.
There you go.
I'll make it up.
Yeah. There you go.
Anyways, he wrote a utility basically that's called Never 10.
Yep.
And if you go, we have a link on our in our toolkit underneath other utilities. So internetadvisor.net underneath the toolkit under other utilities. Steve Gibson's Never 10 is right at the top. And the reason why we put it there is it doesn't stay on your computer. You run it. It disables the Windows 10 notifications on your Windows 7 systems, right?
Yep.
And even your Windows 8. I don't want to update I'm getting tired of the notifications.
Yeah, right.
That's what some of our listeners are saying.
Yep.
Personally, I love my Windows 10 experience.
Well, some of the other things, too, that, in all fairness, people have said is, you know, I left on a vacation, I think it was last week, somebody called and said, I went out of town or went on a vacation or whatever else, and I came back, and my computer, which I leave on all the time, and
I was magically updated.
Suddenly, I'm running Windows 10, and I said, where did that come from? It had happened without their even knowing about it. And they objected to that just being kind of dropped onto their computer. And that's also part of what people are reacting to as well.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, because folks want the control.
Absolutely.
It's their computer. They want to make their choice when and how they go about running it and when and how they change their operating system. So, yeah, I can understand why there would be some sort of upset.
I don't know what you guys, I've had problems with after an update, for instance, an Apple update at times. There have been some things gone haywire in the operating system and I have to roll back or I've... In other words, it doesn't matter what the operating system is or what the particular piece of software is. You can have problems after updating. So if somebody just kind of drops an update on you, I can imagine updating. You know, I'm complaining about that.
Well, right. Yeah, you should always back up before you do an update anyway. There's a lot of things that you have to prepare for before you do an update.
Yes.
Are your programs going to run under that new update or will you have to update all your programs? Do you have all your data backed up? Is your hardware compatible to do it? There's a lot of things to prepare for before you do it. So you don't just want to update, slip right in there and go like, I'm there.
Good news is that usually if the update is successful, or even if it's unsuccessful, it'll restore to you to where you were before. And if it was successful and you just hate it, you have 30 days to back out.
And you can do a system restore.
No, you don't. You just say uninstall Windows 10 and take me back to where I was, darn it.
Oh. Well, then will it come back later on and say, hey, you need to go up
it
to Windows 10?
It sure will. Oh, Microsoft really is pushing this.
Oh.
So, okay, our second letter, before we go, we have listeners calling right now. So,
By the way, the number is 800-859-0957. Harry will be with you shortly. Go ahead.
We had another one from Donna that basically said that we talked a little bit last week about buying used computers. I kept saying $100, $200, you can get yourself a great used computer. And why are you still running that Windows XP? You're not getting security updates. And this way you could get a used computer for $100 or $200 and plug it in, start using it, and then you can slowly get rid of all the, you know, shut down that Windows XP system, right?
Mm-hmm.
And move your data over. Well, she probably went to a mom and pop shop and they wanted to charge her $200. She left a deposit. She wanted to know if that was a good price.
It's hard to tell.
Google it.
Yeah.
Or go to Bing. And I went to Amazon and I went to eBay and I typed in the model number and it was a comparable price.
Okay.
Comparable price on eBay was $175. She was being charged $200. I'm hoping that the mom and pop shop or whoever she purchased it from would you know, clean install.
Or help with the transition.
Help with the transition.
For instance, I have to say,
wrong with a little bit of, tender love and care that these local computer stores can provide their customers.
As an example of that, Ginny and I went to Comtech Services. Ginny's my wife, and we went to Comtech Services and bought her a laptop, a Windows 10 laptop. Shane, who is one of our guys here, helps us, works there, and he helped to put all of her stuff from the old computer, the old laptop, onto the brand new laptop. And that's the kind of thing that you want from a small computer shop. And they do a great job of doing that kind of thing. So keep that in mind as well. All right, Harry, let's get to you. And by the way, for the rest of you out there, our phone number again is 800-859-0957. Hi, Harry. How you doing? Welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hey, fellas. Great show. And you mentioned a few months ago what you guys were talking about, people that if they wanted to, you wanted to help people if they help you with computers and promote them a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned on your website that you can do that.
Yeah.
I have a man that does all my work for me. He's done it for me for 6 years now and, here in the area. How do I do that? How do I get on there and...
glad that you asked that question on one of our programs here, because that is an aspect of our website. If you go to internetadvisor.net...
I'm there right now.
Okay. And you click into any one of our podcasts, for instance, last week's The Panama Papers one, and you go down to the bottom of the broadcast there, it says Trusted Local Computer Repair Shop. And that is a list of precisely what you're talking about. People like yourself. How do you get a name on there? People like yourself.
Right.
Harry will send us an email and say, I love Fred's Computer Shop because. And we don't take... like I had just recently, somebody who ran one of those shops said, can I get my shop promoted on there? And I said, you can if one of your happy customers says, I like that shop because of this.
Right.
They used to call that unsolicited testimonial.
There you go.
Right. So at the top of the Internet Advisor, if you go select the contact, write us an email.
Right.
And then with the company, the person's name, if they're a small business, if they work out of their house, mm-hmm. what contact information, and we'll see about contacting them, about putting it on our website.
Yep. And then we will, then what we do is we put that in, and I'm so glad you asked, because for a lot of people looking for local small, we have them. For instance, we have Mac Professionals, some folks we had on the air here. We got PC Gladiators out in Livonia, Stratus down in Adrian, Michigan, Alltech in Farmington Hills, Comtech Services in Sterling Heights. So we got them in, done even in Toledo as well. So we love to be able to promote the local shops, but the only way they get on is that a satisfied customer like you says they're a great place because of this, and then we promote them on there.
All right. So I clicked on contact, and mm-hmm. I see a form here. Is that the one?
That's the one. And then you can put in
first, last, all that.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And you put in the information in there about the computer shop. And if you, by the way, if you want to give a little testimonial about they did this for me or they're really great at this, put that in there, and then we'll include that in this column that is called Your Trusted Computer Shop.
Okay? I will do that, guys. Thank you very, very much.
Oh, you're welcome, Harry. Thank you so much for asking that question, because that to us is extremely important to be able to pass that information on.
Before we go to our next caller, Foster, I just wanted to correct that, because I said it was Gibson Research Communications. It's actually Gibson Research Corporation. It's GRC.com.
GRC.com. For those who are looking for that service that kills Windows 10.
Never 10.
Never 10, it's called. All right. Excellent. Okay, hey, Tom down in Fremont, Ohio, will be with you in just a moment. And for anybody else who'd like to call right now, our lines are open. Our experts are here in studio to help you. The number is 800-859-0957. Before we get too far along here, I'd like to thank the guys behind the glass who make the program happen. And that's Rich Lozinski, who's our engineer today, and Mike Parsons, who is answering the phones for us. Thanks, guys, so much for your help back there. Yay! Thank you again for being here for the second hour of the Internet Advisor. What happened to the first part? Well, we were kind of covered by the football game, but we's here. Our phone number is 800-859-0957, and we'll be getting to Tom and Sharon in just a moment. I wanted to congratulate our buddy, Richard Steenan, you know, our tech expert friend.
Yeah.
He just let me know that this week, his book, which is There Will Be Cyber War, has just shown up on the Washington Post Top 10.
Really?
Yep. Top 10 nonfiction. Number 9, There Will Be Cyber War. Congratulations, Richard. It's a good read, too. An excellent book about all the potentials out there. As a matter of fact, it's for the cyber war that's already going on.
Yeah,
fascinating.
So much of that's in the news.
Oh, yeah.
And it's amazing how much he's involved with consulting some of the world's leaders.
He is. Great. And listen, we'll be having him on, I'm sure, in the near future anyway. It's Richard Steenan, and the book is called There Will Be Cyber War, number 9, on the nonfiction for the Washington Post this
year. Available at a bookseller near you.
There you go. Let's say hello to Tom. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Tom, how can we help you here?
Hello.
Yeah, hi. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm calling about my mom's phone. She has a Straight Talk wireless phone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it keeps coming up Google Play on it, and you cannot get it off of there. I'd like to know what I can do.
Okay. When you say it keeps on coming up on it, you mean that the application shows up on it?
No, it just says Google Play is unavailable, and you cannot.
Oh.
You have to tap on the screen, tap on the screen, tap on the screen.
And it won't go away.
Now, I assume this is an Android phone, a smartphone.
Yes.
Smartphone of some time.
Straight Talk wireless from Walmart.
Okay.
Oh,
now,
okay.
Is she paying for data services with that phone by chance? Is it just talk?
It's unlimited data and talk and text, whatever it is.
I'm not sure why she's getting that error message. I mean, usually you get that error message. What I've done on my phone, and I don't recommend this for all people, I mean, I wasn't getting that particular error message, but I was getting updates so frequently on my Android S4 and then my Android S5 is that I turned off automatic updates because it was updating Google Play. Any application I downloaded, it was updating. Stop updating. If I want to update the app, I'll be notified by the app, you know? And that's what I did, is I went into the in the phone settings and turned off automatic updates.
Now, what you're seeing there, though, and this is what kind of is...
I took the battery out and I tried to reset it, and the only thing that I get back is you have to go to a website.
Yeah, the Google Play is simply the store for Google applications, okay? And you should be able to get past that and keep on going. It won't make any difference.
Now, it's saying
it can't connect. Is that what it's saying?
Well, with any Android phone and that you set up, usually you have to have a Gmail account. So it's possible that if she did not set up her free Gmail account, then it can't get access to the Google Play Store. And you know what I'm saying, a Gmail email account. And then, of course, the first thing that happens, just like iTunes, it wants to have a credit card. But you could skip that portion and just download free apps. So do you know if she's actually set up the Google account on the phone? So when you go into settings and then accounts.
No.
Yeah. No, and that's probably why she's getting that error. So I'm suspecting if you turn off the automatic updates, which is also in settings, and I believe you actually do that by going into the Google Play and then you select disable automatic updates within there.
Mm-hmm.
And just eliminate all of it?
Well, yeah, I mean, if she doesn't have a Gmail account, then she's not getting updates anyways.
Tom, look under settings, okay, on your mom's phone. Look under settings. And under settings, you'll probably have a listing for Google Play, a separate one that says Google Play on it.
No, that's No, it's not. You actually have to go into the Google Play application, and then in there, you disable automatic updates.
Thank you.
But when you go into settings, check to see if she has any account set up, because if she has no account set up, then that might be another reason why she's getting these error messages.
I'm sure she don't.
Yeah, okay. That's probably true.
You got the phone.
Going to the Gmail first?
Yeah, you could try that first if you want. And if you have a Gmail, I mean, if it's really bothering her and you, you could temporarily, if you have a Gmail account, put your own in there and then go into Google Play, disable automatic updates, then delete your personal account that you use to disable it. You know what I'm saying? You have to trick these phones, but you cannot uninstall, as far as I know.
Yeah, you cannot.
Without rooting the phone, there's no way of uninstalling Google Play. You sort of have to trick it. You have to disable automatic updates, and the only way you can do that is, I believe, you have to have a Gmail account.
All right, Tom.
A Google account.
Okay.
All right, good luck with that. Let us know, by the way.
I really had to think that through. You know, I hope I'm right. Let us know.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Sharon from Southfield. Sharon, welcome to the Internet Advisor. What can we do for you?
Well, adware message popped up on my PC, and it said, you know, either email us or call us, and we'll remove this ad. You have bad adware, yada yada. So I called them, and I told them to get off my PC.
Get off my lawn! I got you.
I did.
No, that's okay.
And I have to, let me qualify something.
Yes.
I'm 73 years old.
Okay.
I'm the deputy managing director of a software development company, international. We have over 1,000 investors. We're 15 years old.
Okay.
I know about technology.
Sure,
and
you're no slouch.
I have adware.
Yeah.
I do. I know I have a Trojan,
but
my tech company with Concise Computer Fabulous, they're out there in West Bloomfield.
Okay.
They have, you know, they have put certain blocks, because the only way to get rid of this thing is to F disk, the whole disk, my whole computer, which is, you know, years and years old, and I can't do that.
Right, I understand.
So we put this in. So I told these idiots, I said, get off my computer. They said, well, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. You downloaded this adware. You have it. You have to use us.
Oh.
I don't have to do anything.
No, you're right. You're right. Good for you. Good for you.
And I said, and he started yelling at me.
You're kidding.
And I said, no, I said, you're an 18-year-old idiot.
I love
it. Right. and how dare you talk to me like that and just go away.
So, you know, it's good to get a little older, because you can say what you want and people over the phone and you have no remorse.
Yeah. So, I love it.
Yep. So
he was screaming. He was screaming at me.
Oh, yeah.
And he just hung up because he couldn't deal with it, because I'm a 70-some-odd-year-old.
Sharon, you have made all of our days. This is kind of a Clint Eastwood moment for all of us.
Anyway, I just thought you'd get a kick out of hearing.
I did. So what was the upshot of it? Did you have to have the computer completely redone, or were you able to,
No, he went away, and my computer's fine.
He went away. I love it. I love it. So I just went away. That is wonderful. Yeah. That is absolutely
wonderful. Well, you know, Concise has done as much as they could to help me out here, because I know I've got this Trojan, we have software developers in Costa Rica that have clued me in exactly that, you know, the only way around this is to completely start over. And mm-hmm. and I mean, I have like, I don't know, 59 gig of data on this machine that's been up, you know, updated since 1970, because I've been in the industry that long. But
back it up.
You know, it's,
hey,
yeah.
Sharon.
No,
oh,
Sharon, Sharon, hang on a second. Cal, you had a question?
Hey, Sharon, have your IT person that you deal with go to a website called malwaretips.com.
Okay.
And they have a process for removing that virus from your, that malware from your machine using a couple of instructions and a product called Malware Bytes.
Well, I do have Malware Bytes, but I don't know. I don't know why, you know, it's not been successful. But
there's a couple other steps that have to be done in coordination with Malware Bytes. And if you goes to that website and looks at the steps that they have out there, that'll take care of you. Okay?
Okay, Sharon.
Okay,
that was a great story. Yeah.
Thank you so much. You have definitely made my afternoon for me, Sharon. Thanks so much for being here. I love it. You know, kind of standing up for the rest of us, saying, "Get off my computer." That's going to be the new, I'm going to have a t-shirt with that. I've got to have a t-shirt that says, "Get off my computer." Don't you think that, guys, we should market this?
You know, I think it would look really well on Foster. Because after, with a picture of Clint Eastwood right in the front of it, "Get off my computer." Oh,
with the dirty, hairy, big pistol?
Oh, the Magnum.
Get off my, with the Magnum, that's it.
It'd be cute.
With the Magnum, "Get off my computer." You feeling lucky? Hey, we'll be back in just a moment to talk with Mike from Monroe, and we've got some space for you, too, at 800-859-0957. Again, that's 800-859-0957. Folks, we're locked and loaded here. Bring on the ransomware. Thank you very much for having stopped by to listen to us here at the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown. Edward Dale and Cal Carson in studio here, and we'll be getting back to answering questions in just a moment. Our number, 800-859-0957. Just a reminder for you, on Sunday night, we post our show notes, which have the links to information that we shared during our first hour with our guests, Tom Kelly and Sandra. Find the notes on Sandra Cochran from Michigan Small Business Development Center out of Grand Valley State University. Interesting conversation about businesses that are growing in our state of Michigan on the southeast and southwest side of the state. I'll have that information posted along with information about with the audio from this part of the program as well. And that will be starting at about 10 o'clock on Sunday night. That'll be posted up on our internetadvisor.net site. All right, let's go back out to our callers here at 800-859-0957. Mike from Monroe, thank you very much for being with us here on the Internet Advisor. How can we help you, Mike?
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard on your, I don't know if it's your show or some other show, about a virus that had been going around where they seem to lock up everybody's data and then they hold it for ransom.
Right, it's called ransomware. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you never think it's going to hit home, but my daughter just called me a couple of days ago and said that's happened to her.
Oh,
and she is a small business owner. Fortunately, she's had most of her things were backed up, but there was still quite a bit of stuff on there that was not really protected.
Right. So if you're sure that it's
the question is there any hope?
Well, according to a report released in September by the FBI, there's two common releases, variants of this. One uses something called CryptoLocker, and the other one's called CryptoWall. And even the FBI says if you're a small business or large business corporation and you absolutely need the data, it might be worth just paying the $200 to have them decrypt it, because you ain't going to be able to decrypt it. Now, out of curiosity, did your daughter mention how much the ransom was? Because
it's
typically
$200 or $300.
Yeah, so they've gone up a little bit. And probably because the FBI said, we can't do anything about it. Sure, they can harass Apple and break an iPhone, but they can't help us decrypt our hard drive.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you're right, Ed. I find that amazing.
And, Cal, you and I were talking about this, I believe, last week.
Yeah.
Because we're always saying backup, backup, backup,
yes.
Right? So the newest versions of these ransomwares is not only encrypting the data that's on the hard drive, but
if there happened to be a backup drive still attached to that machine, it tries to seek out where that might be at and encrypt that as well.
And we're even...
I think that might have been something that happened to her.
Oh, yeah. Dear.
And the other thing is now a lot of the cloud-based storage companies, they're going, oh, no, because you have a computer, right? And you have mm-hmm. cloud-based storage. You have that account on that computer. What's going to happen to your cloud-based storage for your small business if it's encrypted? So now if this crypto wall software actually encrypts your hard drive, what happens if it starts encrypting your cloud-based storage? Will it have that ability?
I don't think it does because the for instance, Carbonite, one I'm familiar with.
No,
they already encrypt it, don't they?
Yeah, but that's not cloud-based storage. That's cloud-based backup.
What happens
if I have clear data? The only thing that your cloud-based storage is you have a certificate or a username or password that allows you to get access to your cloud data, like Gary does with his Microsoft Surface. If these encryption ransomware software packages get on there, what's going to happen to his cloud-based storage?
Yeah.
Unless the companies that actually do it actually prevent encryption.
I have a feeling they're working hard at that.
Mike, probably the smartest thing to do is have your daughter really think about exactly what she needs back in order to do her business with.
Right.
If it's so important that she needs to pay the ransom, then as Ed said, maybe it might be worth it to pay the ransom and then make sure she has appropriate antivirus software and backups to back her up. But if she really, really, have her really think about that, because I had someone who had the exact same problem, and I said, sit down and think about it over the weekend, and if you don't really need it back, don't go through the trouble of giving them the money, and then just move forward from there.
Now, my concern was, actually it was her husband's concern, he thought, what's the use of paying them, they probably won't turn it back on for you anyway, so I don't know if that's true.
There's been cases when they don't do that.
Yeah.
They just take your money and run. It's a crapshoot. But, after all, you're going to trust somebody who just strangled you? I say move on.
Yeah, it's kind of like blackmail. You can pay the blackmail and hope that the blackmailer doesn't use the information for something else. But your point, Click, is very, very important that you're making there, Kel, and that is really, really think hard about whether you need that information or if it's something that can be reconstructed, from invoices or whatever else it may be, then the best thing would be just flush the system.
If I was a small business owner and I had to recreate that from the invoices and I had to pay an intern or an employee, even a weekend's going to blow past $300 easily, so...
That's a good try. And this is why there was a hospital system that I understood paid $50,000 because they locked up all of the patient information and there was nothing they could do about it.
A police department in Chicago 2 years ago got nailed and they ended up paying the $200 ransom.
And you might think, what are you doing? You're just incurred. No, I'm sorry. But
one thing I couldn't find out is should you file a police report? And I haven't found that out. You might want to call the police department.
Always file a police report.
I would.
Yep. And for small business and for insurance reasons too.
Yeah,
how is this going to impact your daughter's business?
And that's another thing too. I just thought about that too. Have your daughter check her small business policy. They may pay for reconstruction of records that need to be done so that if she has to have everything retranscript from paper back into an electronic format, they may cover that for her.
Well, thank you very much. It's very good information. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Mike, thank you so much for raising that question. And boy, that is something that we are hearing of more and more often. And it's almost like they're willing to go for the $200, $300, get the small money. Because people are saying, it's 200, 300, okay, it's not bleeding me, completely white. But the problem is that it's encouraging them that.
Yeah.
It just encourages
them. It's working.
All right, Jeff from Warren, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you, sir?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, listen, I'm an IT specialist, and I just barely caught the tail end of what you were talking about the Windows 10 update that just drives everyone insane.
Yeah.
I deal exclusively in Windows 7 because my third-party practice management software won't go to 8 or 10.
Okay.
And I heard your website, but I was driving. Can you tell me what it is?
Well, it's not our website. It's actually a website by one of the people that we have on the show periodically. And you want to go to grc.com.
Yep, okay. And then /never10. I'm not sure if he has a link from his main website,
yeah,
but grc.com and then /never10.
And Jeff, if you have trouble finding this, simply put never 10 with the number 10 into Google, and it'll take
right.
it to it.
Now, Cal, what you were saying, I haven't had an opportunity to run this because we're trusting several of our listeners. We had an IT person call us that last week that brought this to our attention, and we were sort of like saying, to, you know, shame on Microsoft for not releasing a Microsoft Mr. Fix-It mm-hmm. to actually do this. Because they're making it very difficult. And then we found out that an IT person called us and told us about Never 10.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, Jeff.
Yeah, just to add something real quick to what you were talking about, the ransomware, I've actually had it hit 3 of my customers already.
Ooh.
And it actually attacks the network shares. And what happens is it goes and encrypts all your Word and Excel and PDF documents on your server.
Oh,
so that
wow.
The individual PC doesn't even matter. You can reload that all day. But the server is the one that gets hammered.
Okay.
We started doing was we stopped mapping out the network drives and just put shortcuts on their desktop.
All right, Jeff, we have come to the end of this. I want to have you email us that information so we can share it with our listeners as well. Jeff, thanks so much for being with us. All right, folks, thanks so much for being here at Shortened Version of Internet Advisor. Glad to have you with us, though. Ed and Cal, thanks for being here. And for the guys behind the glass, thank you as well. Check us out at InternetAdvisor.net. We'll see you again next week at 4 o'clock on Saturday.
You've been listening to the Internet Advisor Show, Detroit's longest-running, locally-produced computer show, with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and our team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit InternetAdvisor.net and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. Don't forget to check the other great podcasts available on this PodcastDetroit.com network. Thank you for listening.